Today is Wednesday, November 9th. This is the Women's Chumash Shir. We are at the beginning of Perek Yud Bet of Sefer Bereishis, Pasuk Bet, beginning of Parshas Lech Lecha.
Okay, Rabotai. Last week we began Perek Yud Bet, the beginning of Parshat Lech Lecha, and basically explored the relationship between the beginning of Perek Yud Bet and the end of Perek Yud Aleph, which seems to offer contradictory sources as to who was responsible for the leave from Ur Kasdim and to proceed to Eretz Canaan. Was it Avraham's initiative or was it Terach, his father's initiative? So we spent quite a bit of time. Today we're going to see what God's promise to Avram was and see an interesting couple of interesting comments of the Midrash as well as some of the commentaries on the Chumash itself as to what exactly God is promising Avraham or Avram at the time. Yeah. So the Pasuk says, we're in Pasuk Bet. Ve'e'escha l'goy gadol, I will make you into a great nation. Va'avorechecha, and I will bless you. Va'agadla shemecha, I will make your name great. Ve'heye bracha, and you will be a blessing. I just translated it rather loosely. So we read the Rashi last week already, where Rashi said that these three elements of God's bracha correspond to the typical effect of travel. When you engage in travel, claims Rashi, your opportunity to earn a livelihood is diminished. When you travel, your opportunity to to increase your reputation is diminished. When you travel, it's far more difficult to raise a family in the midst of travel as opposed to be in a stable one location. So in order to counter that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to promise it. Despite the fact that I'm asking you to travel, I promise you, number one, Ve'escha L'goy Gadol, you'll be converted into a great nation. You will have children. Two, va'avarechecha, I will bless you financially, b'mamon. Three, va'agadla shemecha, your reputation will spread high and far, and as a result, there's nothing to worry about in terms of the typical consequences of travel. That was Rashi's simple interpretation. However, Rashi offers a second interpretation, which we will read now. If you look at the Rashi in Pasuk Bet, it's about eight lines into the Rashi. It's where it says, Davar Acher ve'e'escha l'goy gadol. Does everybody have it? Rashi in Pasuk Bet, Davar Acher ve'e'escha l'goy gadol. What does this mean, says Rashi? Zehu she'omrim Elohei Avraham. This midrash, which is quoted in many locations, believes that this pasuk is a reference to Shmona Esrei, where we will petition God, who is the Elohei Avraham, and that's the Escha L'goy Gadol. Then Va'avorechecha Ze'o She'omrim Elohei Yitzchak. Avarechecha is that which we include in our tefillot and identify HaKadosh Baruch Hu as Elohei Yitzchak. Va'agadla Shemecha Zeho She'omrim Elohei Yaakov. So the tribute that is being given to Avraham is that for all subsequent generations they will be making reference to him, his son, and his grandson during the course of Am Yisrael's multiple tefillot unto HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the blessing. It's not that he's going to have children, it's not going to have money, not going to have a great reputation. It means that members of Am Yisrael, when they engage in petitionary prayer to God, they will introduce that petitionary prayer by directing their attention not to just Elohim, God, but Elokei Avraham, the God of Avraham, the God of Yitzchak, the God of Yaakov. Well, that's a very nice tribute. That God was identified with your name is a very nice blessing. Kacha Omer Rashi in his second interpretation. And the question is there anything in the text that supports the Midrash's comment each and every time? How did the Midrash know, besides going in order of their birth, that the phrase Ve'escha L'goy Gadol refers to Avraham? How do I know that V'avarechecha refers to Yitzchak? It's very easy to say. But is there anything in the text that would necessarily identify it? So the Rav once suggested, there certainly is. Please open up to Sefer Devarim. It's in Parshat Va'etchanan. It is Perek Dalet of Sefer Dvarim, Pasuk Zayin. Yes, Dalet Zayin. There is an unusual definition of Goy Gadol recorded in the text in Sefer Dvarim, chapter 4, verse 7. What does the Torah state? This is Moshe Rabbeinu's words. Ki mi goy gadol asher lo Elohim krovim elav. Who can measure up to this great nation who has the following attribute? Their God is very close to them. Very close to them. Kashem Elokeinu. Bichol Koreinu Elav. Every time we call him, what does he do? He responds. Who else can have that relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu other than us? That's fantastic. So what mitzvah is Moshe dealing with here, which he identifies as one of the unique attributes of members of Am Yisrael? What mitzvah is he referring to? Tefillah. Very simple. Tefillah. Well, if we look at Avraham, with each of the avot, the Torah has given us, provided sparing details about the avot. It's a handful of stories. And if it's a handful of stories during Avraham's 175 years, the ones that are recorded must be particularly significant. Where there is a whole unit, chapter 18 of Sefer Bereshit, we'll learn it soon enough, in which Avraham engages in what? Prayer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. On behalf of what nation? Stone. When God shares with Avraham that he's planning to what? Destroy Sodom and Amorah, Avraham engages in petition. And the Torah records the entire dialogue. If there are 50 tzaddikim, first he tells him, HaShofei kol ha'aretz lo ya'aseh mishpat? Is it possible that the eternal judge is not going to be fair and he's going to kill the righteous together with what? With the Rishaim? What happens if they're 50 tzaddikim? 40 tzaddikim, and he's like going for a touchdown. 30, 20, 10, touchdown. So the Torah records as one of its few episodes of Abraham's life the mention of tefillah. So since Goy Gadol is identified in the text as what? As the mitzvah of tefillah, and the Midrash notes that in chapter 18 of Sefer Bereishit, the Torah devotes an entire perek to the tefillah of Avraham. It's one of the few events that are recorded. Therefore, the Midrash puts two and two together and says, Ve'escha oscha l'goy gadol, zehu she'omrim Elohei Avraham. Why? Because the model of tefillah as being a something significant and effectual, where God deems it effectual, under those circumstances, is recorded by Avraham. As a result, the Midrash now says, therefore we will now say, Elohei Avraham, on the phrase, Ve'escha oitcha otcha legoi gadol. Goy gadol, in the context, in the sense, Umi goy gadol, asher lo Elohim krovim elav, bechol koreinu elav. That's point number one. Point number two, Yitzchak is described as va'avorechecha. Good. So now open up to Parashat, where it says about Yitzchak. Right here, a little later in Bereishis. Please open up to chapter 26. Perek Chavav, Pasuk Yud Bet. What does the Torah say? Vayizra Yitzchak. Yes, not just God blessed him. Vayizra Yitzchak b'Eretz Ahi. Yitzchak planted in that land. It's in Avimelech's territory in Gerar. Vayimtsa bashana hahi mea she'arim. What does that mea she'arim mean? A hundredfold. That's how much it produced. A hundredfold. That's vayivarcheu Hashem. Biracha is always identified that if you can have the capacity to extract more than you invested, that is considered bracha. For example, at the beginning of Sefer Bereishit, which we learned already at Bereishit, the mitzvah of Purvu is always introduced Vayivarech Otam Lemar. Purvu Umilu et Haaretz, both in relationship to Adam and Chava and in relationship to Noach, the exact same expression after he left the Teva. Vayivarech Otam Elokim. Why? Because Pruvu is exactly that. You start off with two people, and now there's a third, perhaps a fourth, or a fifth, depending on how many children you have. Bracha always is identified as when somebody begins with X, and now you wind up with X plus. That's bracha. Well, the pasuk itself says, Vayizra Yitzchak ba'aretz ahi, and vayimtzeu mea she'arim, vayivarcheu Hashem. Therefore, what did the Midrash now do, suggested the Rav? What did the Midrash do? Va'avorechecha zehu she'omrim Elohei Yitzchak. Elohei Yitzchak. Because Yitzchak is associated in the text with the notion of bracha. What bracha is defined as. Namely, taking something and coming away with that something plus. Good. So it's not arbitrary that the Midrash says, when it says, V'escha is Zeh Shomim Elohei Avraham, it's not arbitrary that we assign the word V'avorechecha to Elohei Yitzchak. Now all we have to do is find a source for Agadla Shemecha to make it Ve'elohei Yaakov. So is there any text that you can think of in the life events of Yaakov, which again, there are precious few, which indicates that Yaakov's name is indeed, he's associated with Agadla Shemecha. Is there anything? What? What'd you say? Okay. Perhaps. When he becomes Yisrael, let me just find
be, yeah. When he said "V'hayita l'kahal amim,"
oh,
it's in Kaf Breshit Kaf Zay. No, I'm sorry, Kaf Chet Gimel.
Good.
Part of the bracha that he's given.
Good. What pasuk in Kaf Chet?
It's Parak Kaf Chet Gimel.
That's the end of Toldot. Chavchet Gimel? Yes. V'yarbecha v'hayita likahal amim. It means that you'll become a great nation, which is v'agad. I'm not sure that would be v'agad la shemecha. Not sure. I hear the reference. However, there is one other pasuk. What? Oh, good. Good. Beginning of Parshas Vayetze. Good. Excellent. Parshas Vayetze. Good. How many years did you teach that grade? 5,000 times? No, because, yes.
And he stops in Beersheba and gives the Korbanah. So I think I gave the wrong answer.
No, yes. But it's Vayetze. Vayetze Yaakov mi Beersheba Vayelech Charana. The beginning of Parshas Vayetze. So Rashi, in the name of the same Midrash, raises the question, the beginning of Parshas Vayetze. So it's the it's Perek Chavchet Pasuk Yud. Perek Chavchet Pasuk Yud. Rashi asks, who cares where he left from? The most important thing is where he's headed. Should have said Vayelech Yaakov Haran. Yaakov went, why do I have to identify that he left Be'er Sheva? We know that he's in Be'er Sheva because the previous chapter told us that he was in Beersheba. Well, unless we're told to the contrary, we know that he's leaving Beersheba. So Rashi quotes a midrash. Lefi sheyitziyat tzadik oseh roshan. When a tzadik leaves, it has an impact upon whom? The entire community. Everybody knew that Yaakov left. Everybody knew that Yaakov arrived. Everybody knew that Yaakov left. And when he's leaving Beersheba, all of the people in Beersheba said, oh, I'm so sorry, he's moving to another community. How did that happen? Because his name had already been what? Well circulated in the city of Beersheba. Therefore, Va'agad lo shemecha, zehu she'omrim, Elohei Yaakov. So it's not that the Midrash is fabricating, just making something up to fit into a nice idea. There are indications in each one of the Avot which indicate that the item in this particular bracha indeed occurred during their lifetime. Yeah.
Maybe we need to be more literal, that Yaakov's shame became Israel.
Okay, that's a didn't somebody say that before? Yeah, someone said that. That's a possibility.
Mention that.
No. Okay. You. It's just as good as anybody else's.
Well,
just as good as it. It's excellent. I didn't see it, but it's just as good. Just as good. Yes. Yeah, his name changed from Yaakov to Yisrael. Yes.
Can't get more gadol than that.
Correct. Especially what the name means, Sar El. Sar El.
None of them are first.
I didn't see. Maybe did. I didn't see. Yes.
What is the actual distance that Abraham traveled, and how long did it take him? Does it say anywhere?
No place in the text does it say how long did it take him. And the distance, you can go to a map and figure it out. I didn't look it up, but you can. Your homework. Report back next week. Tell us how far it is from Aram Naharayim or Haran to Eretz Yisrael. Tell us. Not sure. How long it was, and then we can figure out how long approximately it would take him, based on how much a person travels during the day. So that's point number one, which Rashi makes.
Doesn't it say Yaakov Dera shortened?
What?
Doesn't
say it in the Chumash. It says it in the Midrash. That there was Kfitzas Hadera for Yaakov. Right, but here we're talking about Avraham. We haven't seen Kfitzas Hadera for Avraham. Continues Rashi with his last thought. So he explained the first three of them in a Dover Acher. What does the last phrase mean? Veheye Bracha. Says Rashi, Bechachos min velo bahem. When we come to the end of the first bracha of Shmoneh Esrei, we don't say Baruch Ata Hashem Magen Abraham Yitzchak V'Yaakov. What do we say? Magen Abraham. That's what it means. V'heyei bracha. Not only will they make reference to Elohei Abraham, Elohei Yitzchak V'Elohei Yaakov, but at the end of the first bracha of Shmoneh Esrei, they will describe only you. Not that God was not the protector of Yitzchak and Yaakov. He's all of our protectors.
You get your own.
Correct. On Friday night, for example, after Shmoneh Esrei, we say Magen Avot Bidvaro. Magen Avot. We make reference that God is the Magen of all of the Avot Bidvaro. However, according to this Midrash, here, the conclusion, Baruch Atah Hashem, again Avraham, is the conclusion of the bracha. And it's not just to tell us that it's the bracha, the conclusion of the bracha. It's there as the conclusion in light of Rashi's previous comment. Of the three ideas which Rashi introduces, great reputation, well known, financial blessing, and the capacity to pray, which is the most significant, of course? The ability to pray. Avraham's contribution and his definition, what he stands for, only one of them is of a spiritual nature, of a spiritual idea. The other two are pure, physical, material. Certainly Yitzchak, that he planted in Adalah, and Yaakov as well, that his reputation was well known. Yah Avraham engages in that spiritual, and therefore Becha Chotmin Baruch Ato Hashem Magen Avraham Kacha Lomeg Rashi in his second interpretation. Second interpretation. However, there are many other suggestions in order to understand this. Please go for a second to page number 2, which is an offshoot of Rashi. It's a different midrash. It's a collection. What you have here is a collection of midrashim. I bracketed the relevant source that I want you to look at. There are about 20 different interpretations of this particular pasuk in this medrash alone. So I bracketed the relevant one for us. We have. I'll bring you one.
Anybody else?
Says the Midrash, Amar Rabbi Chiya bar Ze'ira, Rabbi Chiya the son of Ze'ira said, page 2, bracket 1, Veheye bracha, birchatcha, kodemet lebirchati. Your blessing in the Shmon Esrei, that we acknowledge that God is Magain Avraham, precedes my greatness. My greatness, says the Medrash. Because we say Magain Avraham before we say what? Mechaye Hamesim. Mechaye Hamesim is the second bracha in Shmon Esrei. So if one were to describe the attributes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, perhaps Shmon Esrei should have started Atagibor Le'olam Hashem Mechaye Hamesim Atarav Loshia. Not with the relationship that God has formed with Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. But Veheye Bracha, says the Midrash, that we are so impressed with the relationship that has been formed that it takes priority in our daily Shmon Esrei above and beyond the Givurot of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The fact that He is the Mashiv HaRuach, the fact that He is the Somech Noflim, the fact that He is the Rofei Cholim, and He is ultimately the Mechaye HaMetim, Magen Avraham takes priority. But then the Medrash adds a little knetch. Shemishahem omrim again Avraham, achar kein omrim mechaye hametim. That's number one. Now the Medrash says, davarake. I'll give you another interpretation. Veheye bracha. Veheye brecha. Brecha. A pool, exactly. A pool of water. I want you to be a source of a pool of water.
He's always digging wells.
What?
He's always digging wells.
That is true, but so is Yitzchak. It says it black and white in the text. Vayashav Yitzchak, Vayachpor, Eberot Asher Chafar et Avraham Aviv. So the Torah emphasizes that, and we'll get to it. It's very significant. So what's the second? Ma Brecha Hazu, Mitaheret et Hatmeim. Af ata mikarev rechokim tachat kanfei hashchina. That's where the bracket should be. Namely, just as a pool of water, what we call a mikveh, has the capacity to cleanse somebody and rid their state of ritual impurity by immersion in the mikveh, so too you have the capacity to rid people of their spiritual impurity by worshipping idolatry and being mikarev them tachat kanfei hashchina. And the second interpretation means veheye bracha. You, Avraham, are going to be particularly successful with raising a generation of people who will now follow your way. And in fact, this is supported by the text. Just take a look at our Chumash, two psukim later. Two psukim pasuk hey. Look at our pasuk. Vayikach Avram et Sarai ishto ve'et lo ben achi ve'et lo rechusham asher rechashu ve'et hanefesh asher asu b'charan. What does that mean? It means his loyal converts. People who he swayed to adopt a monotheistic belief in God. We're later going to see that it is quite possible that almost every one of them abandoned Avraham. Almost every one. We will later see in the text indications that might suggest to us that although he was initially successful, eventually his influence wore off and they either drifted away and we just don't know about what happened to them, or quite possibly that they even reverted back to their idolatrous behavior. And it's not something that is emphasized in the text. They don't want to say that too loudly. But we will see it somewhere underlying it in a couple of psukim. Yes?
So the Medrash is kind of weak in that way. This isn't such a great bracha that doesn't have holding power.
Correct. So that Medrash didn't see what we're going to see in the text. It's not in the text. I said. So first of all, you can have conflicting Midrashim. That's not a shock. And secondly, the Medrash, whoever authored it, Reb Chiya, he may not have seen what you'll point out, that he didn't see. He didn't see. You know, what the Ramban saw, obviously Rashi didn't see, because otherwise Rashi would have said it. No, that's what happens. You have an opportunity to be creative in the narrative of the Torah and say things that heretofore were never suggested. And they can be just as good as Rashi and the Ramban. And here's just a Medrash. And Medrash Chalukot we find thousands of times. People, Medrashim, arguing with one another. But I'm just giving you a preview. Here the Midrash is giving him tremendous credit for it, and the Torah itself is giving you credit for it. That's Veheye Bracha. In which case, the Heye Bracha is not related to what? To the previous three. The first three is Elohei Abraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov. Now, this is something to do. In Rashi's first interpretation, the Heye Bracha is the conclusion of the Escha Lo Goy Gadol. You say Elohei Abraham, Elohei Yitzchak, Elohei Yaakov, but you conclude only Magen Abraham. So it's all related. This particular Medrash says, no, it's an independent thought not to be connected to the previous three. That's point number two. Point number two. Point number three is, take a look at, on page number one, the Baal HaTurim. Now, the Baal HaTurim is the son of the Rush, Rabbeinu Yaakov ben Asher, whose primary contribution to Jewish literature is his writing of the Tur. The Tur organized halakha into four sections, what we call the Shulchan Aruch. Karo copied the Tur a couple of hundred years later and made the Shulchan Aruch. The Tur created the subdivisions, that there's Orach Chaim, day-to-day life, where you have the laws of Davening and Kriya Shema and Shabbos and Yom Tov. And then there's Yoredeya, the laws of Kashrut. Then there's Ibn Ezra, the laws of marriage, marital status. And Choshen Mishpat, the laws of business. The Tur only formulated the halakha for that which is relevant in his day and age, in the 14th century. Anything that wasn't relevant in the 14th century, the Torah did not write a word about. So there's nothing about the laws of building the Beit HaMikdash, nothing about Orei Miklat, going to Orei Miklat, there's nothing about Bezdin, because there ain't no such thing as a Bezdin today. We don't have it that can execute people. That was the fundamental difference between the Shulchan Aruch and the Rambam. When the Rambam wrote his code, Mishneh Torah, he incorporated, is one of the only ones to have incorporated a body of law for everything that ever did exist and will exist. Every single mitzvah in the Torah codified according to topic. Most other codes dealt with only laws that had a practical application in their generation. That was the Torah's greatest contribution. And what he did was he gives you an overview of that particular topic, and then Karo sifted through the Tur and he selected one opinion to be the Shulchan Aruch, the law. So Karo doesn't give you 80 different opinions. Karo just says, he doesn't give you the background, where he got it from. That was the Tur's job. He quotes the Gemara, the Rambam. Karo writes one law. Bench. That's all. Just say Birchat HaMazon, which is three brachot, end of discussion. However, the Tur also wrote another commentary, not a terribly heavy one. It's called the Baal HaTurim. It's printed in every Mikraot Gedolot. Not in the regular Mikraot, the old-fashioned Mikraot Gedolot. 90% of the time he does Gematrius. Gematrius. So he took Gematrius seriously. You know, we believe it's good for Shal Shudas Torah, for Chassidus Rebbe, that's it. But you'll never hear me quoting from the pulpit a Gematria as the basis of a drasha, because it's not, you know, not a thematic development. But he also did that, and also commented, if there is an unusual word, how many times it appears in Tanakh, and find a link between every single time that word was found in Tanakh, it's got to be connected. If this unusual, that's the commentary of the Torah. So I'll show you an example right now in the bracketed section. Then I'll show you a different Kabbalah Torah. It's Veheye, says the Torah, Hey Bamasora, Hey Bamasora. There are five times in all of Tanakh when the word Veheye appears. Now that's pretty good, considering he didn't have a Bar Ilan and a computer to check it out. See, he knew it. He knew it. He knew the whole Tanakh by heart. So he writes, Veheye Hey Bimisola. One, Veheye Bracha, our puzzle. Two, Veheye Tamim. That's to Avram after during the mitzvah of Bris Milah. Hitalech Lifanai, Veheye Tamim. Three, Veheye Nachon Laboker. This is after the Cheto Egel. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe, I want you to be ready for tomorrow morning when you're going to go up to Har Sinai again. I'll give you the second Luchot. Four, same location, same idea. Ale Eli Hahara Veheye Sham. I want you to come up to the mountain a second time and remain there. He remained there for 40 days and 40 nights. And the fifth time is in Sefer Shoftim, Veheye Li La'av. And I want you to be a father unto me. Good, very nice. So it says the way, Heye, five times in Tanakh. Now, says the Balaturim, I'm going to develop a theme based on these five. What does he say? Im tihye tamim v'nachon. If you will be wholesome and righteous individual, of tihye bracha, then you will be what? Blessed. Va'ale Eli Hahara. Then you will be invited where? Up to the mountain. Veheye Sham Lila'av. And I, God, will be what? Your father. I'll treat you like a pop. So what does he do? He says, ultimately, that the greatest bracha that a person can experience is what? To be called up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to be within His presence, and for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to tell you, I got your back. I'm your pop. You would probably say, I'm your mom. I'm your mom. I got you covered. What a bracha. What a bracha. So the Baal HaTurim says that Veheye Bracha means this. That Abraham conducted himself, that he was a tamim. He acted nachon, appropriately at all times. Hence he was blessed. What is the blessing? That he gets closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ale Eli Hahara Ve'yesha. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Ani Eheye Lachem La'ah. Oh, what greater could it bracha for me? Kacha Omer Habalaturim. It's a cute little drusha. You can use it sometime at a bar or bat mitzvah. Yeah. Yes. Yes.
What does Baal mean?
Baal, an individual. Baal chesed, a person who does chesed. You know? Baal tzedakah, a person who what? Who's in the habit of giving tzedakah. Furthermore, says the Baal HaTurim, I didn't bracket it, but if you go on the right-hand column, in Pasuk Bet, line 5, Baal HaTurim claims that seven blessings were granted to Avram. Ve'eschai l'goy gadol. Berchu kan sheva brachot. And the printer correctly says, the Baal HaTurim didn't make this up, it's Midrash Rabbah, chapter 11, verse 2. Veheim elu, here they are. Ve'escha l'goy gadol is number one. Vehi hagdola shebekulam. This is the greatest of the seven blessings, that you are indeed going to be converted into a great nation, despite the fact that what? You're very old already. And your wife is also very old, and they haven't had any children heretofore. Shiaseu l'goy. She'im zot nichlal hashibud v'hashichrur. At the time when God promises Avram later in the parsha, when Avram complains that I only have one person who seems to be inheriting me. Who is that one person who seems to be inheriting me? Uben Meshek Dam Beisi. Hu Damesek Eliezer. Only Eliezer. What does God say? No. Your wife, Ki Hayotse Mimeecha. That which comes out of Sarah will inherit you. But at that time, God already told them what's going to happen. It's not happening right away. What's going to happen? You're going to have to go to Mitzrayim. And in Mitzrayim, they're going to blossom what? Into a great nation. So there, included in the Ve'eschel, Le'goy Gadol, is included the Shibud, the enslavement, and the ultimate freedom. And when they were free, that's when they were recognized as a great nation. How do I know they were recognized as a great, powerful nation when they were free? How do I know? Give me a text. Give me a text. Authored by Paro. What did Paro tell people when he wanted to enslave them? Why did he want to enslave them? Penyirbe, they're getting too big already. What's going to happen? Vinilcham banu, then they'll wage war against us. V'alam in aretz. So in Mitzrayim, that's where they succeeded in what? Becoming a powerful nation. This is the greatest of the seven blessings. Continues the tour. Line, the next line. V'hashenit, shebihiyot Avram. Terem hikanso bibris, when his name is still Avram, before he entered into the covenant with God, which changed his name to Avraham, yivarcheu birchat hamamon, God will bless him with material wealth. Shine emar, as it is written in Parshat Lech Lecha, we will read it. Ve'Avram kaveg meod, that Avram had a lot of cattle. Babakar batzon. It says it black and white in the Chumash. While he was still Avram. That's Va'avarechecha. The third is Va'agad la'shemecha. This is what you said. Who said this? Who said Va'agad la'shemecha means go? Who said that? That it means going from Avram to Avraham. That's exactly what he says. Va'agad la'shemecha shlishit sheyigdal shemo me'avram la'avraham. V'harivit sheyihye hu be'atzmo beracha sheyihye hu be'atzmo beracha. What do you think that means? Sheyihu. What do you think that means?
He is everything.
Okay, so what does it mean that he is himself is a blessing? It will be a blessing. Give me something that we say not with Avram, saying with two other people, which might explain it, which according to some is what the Torah had in mind. In fact, there is a, correct. People will say at the time, Yisimcha Elohim ke Avraham. Ke Avraham. And in that way, you will be the source of a blessing. That's number three. Number four. V'hachamishit sheyivarech Hashem mivorachav. God will bless those who bless you. That's the next pasuk. Va'avorcha mivarcheka. Va'hashishit sheyeor kol mivakshei ra'aso. I will curse anybody who intends to inflict harm upon you. I will curse them and thereby protect you. The hashviyit, and the seventh one, this is all next pasuk, sheyit baruchu bo kol mishpechot ha'adama. All of the nations of the world will say, may we be blessed like whom? Like Avraham Avinu. May we be blessed like Avraham Avinu. So the Baal HaTurim claims that this Ve'eschel L'Goy Gadol should not be seen independently, but it should be seen in the context of the next pasuk as well, and that there are seven brachot that HaKadosh Baruch Hu offers. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu offers. That's point number two. Point number three is I bracketed underneath the Svarno. This is an incredibly difficult Sparno. Says the Sfarno, what does Veheye Bracha mean? Birchat hi Hashem hi. What is the ultimate blessing that one can receive from God? She yismach Hashem b'masav. If God's happy the way you conduct yourself, the way I conduct myself, that's the greatest blessing. Wow. The Rabbeinu Shel Olam is proud of me. I can't ask for more than that. That's the greatest blessing. That's the Heye Bracha. Now listen to his proof. Kimo Sha'amru Rabotein. Now we're going to call in Fried, right? Fried to sing the song, right? Yishmael Bini Barcheni, right? Yishmael Bini Bini Bini. To Gemara and Brachas on Daf Zayin Amud Aleph, where a Kohen Gadol Yishmael is standing at the Kodesh HaKadoshim. He says, "Kishir nechnasi lekodesh halachti ketoyris, must be on Yom Kippur," and he sees Akatriel, which is the name of Hakadosh, one of the names of Hakadosh Baruch Hu, and he says, Hakadosh Baruch Hu says, "Yishmael bini Barcheni." HaKadosh Baruch Hu asks the Kohen Gadol, Yishmael, please bless me. Wow. HaKadosh Baruch Hu asks the Kohen Gadol, Barcheni. Amarti lo, says Yishmael the Kohen Gadol, Yehi ratzon lufanecha, I pray to you, O Lord, he doesn't quote the whole thing, this was v'goyner, etc. to it. Sheyich b'shu rachamecha, that you should what? Control your anger. V'yagolu rachamecha al midosecha. And may your rachamim unfold on what? On your subjects. What? That's what the Gemara says. That was the bracha that Yishmael gave to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ladies and ladies, what question would you ask the Gemara? What question would you ask Yishmael after God asked him to bless him? No, that's a good question. But based on the text that we just saw, based on the text of the bracha, would you ask based on the text of Yishmael's bracha unto HaKadosh Baruch Hu? What do you ask? It's a simple question.
The bracha is for us. He's giving a bracha for us.
Yeah, exactly. HaKadosh Baruch Hu asked for a blessing. And all you did is make a request. Please conquer your anger. Sheyich b'shu rachamecha. That what? Eskas chomeyaleinu. Please conquer your anger. V'yogoylu rachamecha al midosecha. V'kinsnaheg imanu lifnim mishuras hadin. Go above and beyond the din. The din says you're guilty. You go above and beyond the din. Okay, you start doing your parallel. That's all parallel, but you did nothing. Yes. This is a bracha you give to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Rashi in the Gemara fills in the blank and says, there's an assumption which the Gemara assumes Yishmael said, which is not recorded. Why it's not recorded beyond me. But Rashi says this. What does it mean? That he prefaced his remarks by saying, Rabbeinu Shel Olam, we're going to be very good. We're going to do our best to conduct ourselves appropriately and mend our evil ways. And therefore, what am I now asking you? So what is the best music to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's ears? What great blessing could there be? As Rashi just said here. What's the greatest bracha? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, he's given me nachas. Once HaKadosh Baruch Hu feels you're giving him nachas, I'm going to take advantage of the situation. Please, have mercy and compassion on us. Don't treat us too harshly. So what's happening here says the Sfarno, you know what Veheye Bracha means? That you should be a source of blessing, you in whose eyes? HaKadosh Baruch Hu's eyes. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu will find Avram's conduct, his life, worthy of putting a grin from ear to ear on HaKadosh Baruch Hu's face. Wow! Nothing greater than that that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said. I'm impressed. I like this person. Yes?
It's exactly the opposite of at the end of the Rishis when he gets saved, that we go. In other words, if God already has moved in and destroyed.
Excellent! He's very sad. He's sad. Yeah. Excellent! At the end of Parshas Bereishis, when God notices the behavior of the generation, he's very sad. Because that doesn't make him happy if people are engaged in theft and immoral behavior. That's excellent, yes. But I think it's a very powerful observation what Veheye Bracha is, associating the Gemara and Brachos to this, but you have to have Rashi's salt and pepper, because otherwise the Gemara makes no sense, because it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in a very unusual way, asking Yishmael Kayin Gadol for the Bracha. Barcheini b'ni. Please bless me. Bless me. We would have expected Yishmael to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu on Yom Kippur, please bless us, me and everybody else. But it was the reverse. That's why the Gemara recorded it. Yeah?
It's kind of also thinking, I'm sure that Aaron has a great name. Because, you know, if you're living in a land where there's a behaviors, and then you have Abraham who's living a particular life that makes God very happy, it would be very unusual, and he will make a name.
Okay, that there is an element of overlap. Yes, there is. I'll grant you that. I will.
And all because the Rosh Hashem, the idea of when he left, when Yaakov was Be'er Sheva, that what you know, how do we explain what that was? So I mean, right,
we don't know.
Talk about that he was a particular type of person, that he's unusual.
That is correct. Okay. Yes, I hear that. Yes, it was his actions that made an impression on the people. That's correct. But here it's talking about making an impression on the Ribono Shel Olam. Yes?
Going back a step, erasing, since it's not in there that we'll spread nachas for you by behaving ourselves and going in your footsteps, I would think that someone who has more rahmanis than vengeance in their behavior is just a better off person. And it may apply to Hashem as well, that he's not so angry all the time, and he spends more time with Rachmanis.
Okay. That's a good point. We know that the text itself documents that he is vengeful at times.
Yes.
Says.
And he said,
right, I am Kano Kineti. Shir Shoyom. Exactly. Kale to come out today, Shir Shoyom. God, that's correct. Yes.
Forced by the Sforno's words about Abraham having this impact on so many people and converting so many people, but it may not have even played out to the nth degree. So it just, to me, illustrates the interactivity of a bracha. You know, we think of a bracha as being a very passive state of affairs. We ask for a bracha, we receive a bracha, and we just receive it. But maybe it has to be an active interaction. You know, we ask for, it's an opportunity to self-actualize. It's not just a bestowal of blessing, it's an opportunity to be aware and to actualize the bracha, but we have to seize the opportunity. And here Sforno is kind of saying the same thing, like, why would God ask for a bracha? But maybe it illustrates the interactivity between God and man. It's not like one bestowed blessing.
That's very nice.
Blessing.
Very nice.
Really
very nice. Very nice, yes. Right.
So that even when you do something bad, we want God to see in the good way at that moment.
That's a good point, yes. Torah comments that look at Yishmael only the way he was at that time. Yes, good point. All right, we'll stop here and continue next to Bach.
Moshe, I hope you're happy.